We're going to talk a bit of tech now with Fevzi Turkalp, the gadget detective, and we're going to look particularly at the current trend for tech companies getting us to subscribe instead of buy stuff. Morning, Fevzi.
Morning. So this is interesting. So it's been tipped that Apple will next week launch a hardware subscription service for its computers. Initially, it will be in the States, but then it most likely will spread around around other markets.
So hardware subscription. What does that mean?
Yeah, it means it's a bit like a lease, right? You pay a certain amount every month, and you get to use one of their computers. You
right.
don't own it. We don't know the details yet. You might, like some leases, you might get the option to, you know, pay an amount at the end and keep the item, but, you know, something like a 2 or 3 year subscription or lease. So this was interesting to me for a number of reasons. I mean, Apple recently put up the cost of its computers. Some of their devices went up by as much as 60 or 70%. They've also become a lot stricter about who qualifies for educational discounts. And I suspect this is not the end of the increases. We're going to see further increases. This is to do with, AI data centers buying up all the components and some manufacturers. Because there's only really four major manufacturers of some of these components. And some of them have just dedicated themselves. You remember Micron used to run the Crucial brand? I don't know if you remember that. But
I've heard of it.
Well, Crucial was really my go-to. I loved it, and that was a consumer brand. They actually killed the Crucial brand, which was a hugely successful. I mean, it'd be like killing off Ford or something, you know, as a name. They killed it off because they decided to sell everything to these AI companies because they're able to pay more for them.
Right, which is why our prices are going up for computers and phones and anything with a chip in it, presumably.
Yeah, so and that's it. So this story is interesting in that context because the prices are going up so much. I mean, one computer got a £1,300 price increase. Now, admittedly, it was a £4,000 computer, but that's still a lot of money, you know, to put up. It strikes me that there's good and bad in this. So, first of all, it's good because people may be able to afford then to be able to, you know, use these computers if not own them. But I do worry about it because it seems like we're moving to something, you know, hardware as a service. We did that. That happened with software and a lot of other services, right? So it used to be you used to buy a piece of software and it was essentially yours under license to use for a good long period of time until it became redundant. But now they force you to pay a monthly subscription. Now, some things that's reasonable for example, antivirus, because there's quite a lot of work involved in keeping those defenses up to date as new viruses become known about. They have to, you know, use software engineers to counter them. But other bits of software aren't of the same nature, and yet you're increasingly pushed towards renting the software, in essence. And now the same thing may be happening with hardware because the cost of buying it outright is now escaping the average buyer, even people who are happy to pay Apple prices for equipment. And this isn't just Apple, by the way. I mean, this is a wider problem. Now are being forced into renting it. And I was thinking about this because you've got the AI companies, you know, buying up everything, which they're not even using, and we'll come to that in a moment. They're buying up everything, which means that most of us can't, for example, run local large language models on our computers because to buy a computer that can do that is now, you know, several thousand pounds. So we're being forced to rent everything, and it's part of this trend of we don't own anything anymore. We don't own our music. We don't own, you know, people still buy vinyl and CD, but not comparatively speaking, most people are listening on streaming services.
So yeah.
we're renting.
Phones, of course, people have not bought their phone. A lot of people don't buy their phones. They kind of rent them, basically, on a package.
Yeah, no, that's true. And this disturbs me because we don't really have control over what we're doing. I guess I'm a bit old school. I like to own things, rather than rent them if I can. And as I say, on the one hand, it's a good thing to have this sort of scheme, given that the prices are going up. But on the other hand, it does mean there's a shift, and we become, I think we become like Marx, if you know what I mean. Not Karl Marx, but, you know, we become Marx for this sort of way of working. We don't have a choice. And I think it's quite regrettable. And the other problem is that I think it's an inflationary thing in itself, because the cost of, price increases get obfuscated by, monthly repayments. Maybe it doesn't seem so painful when they add a couple of pounds a month to something, but actually that can be a significant price increase. And I think it will allow manufacturers to apply price increases that they might otherwise have been reluctant to do, which will affect people who want to buy it outright, of course, as well as the people who are renting, because you pay more to rent, but it will be hidden. So
would it be easier? Is part of the idea that it then becomes easier to keep up to date, that you rent your latest iMac or whatever it is, and then after 3 years, if it's getting a little bit slow, you can swap it for a new one and just carry on paying roughly the same rent. Is that the idea? You hand it back?
Well, yeah. So I don't know that it will be roughly the same, because this inflationary pressure on computers, and as you said, anything with a chip in it, this is not going to go away quickly. You know, it's not 1 or 2 years. I believe it will be going for a lot longer, and I don't believe that prices will revert to any meaningful way. So I don't think it will necessarily allow you to do that. But I also think that, see, modern computers have become more commoditized. They are really quite good, and Apple Silicon is excellent. So there are a lot of people who are happily using M1 generation processors from Apple, which launched in 2021. So they're 5 years old, those processors now. We're just about to see the launch of the M6 series. And people are quite happy with that. So using a machine for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, I would recommend most people do that. So this sort of scheme kind of legislates away from that, because if you've got a fixed term, then the temptation is going to be to upgrade to the latest model. So there'll be more things going into landfill, more things having to be recycled. And we may be paying for power that we don't really need. It's quite interesting, because up until recently, hardware power was advancing so quickly that we couldn't find things to do with all that power. We didn't really need to do it, which is why, you can be happy with a 5-year-old processor in your computer. That kind of ebbs and flows, because we're now in the cycle with AI, and particularly if you're trying to run AI large language models, or just AI, powered software, that is very heavy on processors, and it's changing the design of the processors. So we have not only sort of CPUs and graphics processors, but we have these neural processors as well, which are specifically designed for doing AI type thinking tasks. So I think that it will mean that people upgrade when they otherwise wouldn't, and that in overall they will pay more, and I think that's the problem. And I think it drives the inflation, as I say.
Sure. Is it true as well, though, that, I get the impression that a lot of people just actually don't need or bother with a computer anymore, that unless you've got a particular task in mind, there was a time when everybody had a desktop or a laptop,
but your
phone or your tablet can do so much these days that for the average person, I wonder whether they even need a computer.
That, That's a very good point, but I guess I was using the word computer probably quite broadly.
Okay, so this applies to phones as well, does it?
Yes, and absolutely. And the prediction for Apple will be that because you can spend, even now you can spend over £1,500 on an iPhone, and the new foldable, goodness knows, you know, there's a new foldable iPhone that's rumoured to be launching. Perhaps
I don't understand that. Why? What is the point of a really expensive bit of technology where your phone folds in half? What's the point of it?
So let me just say about that. You could spend, I predict that some of the configurations of that machine could go up to £2,500. Right. So, yes, you know, it's a pocketable device, but it's not a cheap device. And so, again, you can see that a subscription on a product like that would be potentially attractive. Are you asking me why foldables are?
To me, it strikes me as a gimmick, really. And certainly, you know, even if I could afford that, I've got better things to spend money on than a foldable phone. A little bit of a bigger screen, I suppose.
Well, you can get potentially double the size of the screen, and you can get something that has an aspect ratio much closer to that of a tablet, like an iPad, for example.
Right.
So it'd be better for, you know, because phones are, you know, the screens on them. So because we need to be able to hold them in one hand, it limits the width of the phone and therefore the width of the screen. You know, when you're holding it in portrait mode. So being able to fold that out book style into two facing pages, if you like, and for that to form a single screen with no visible crease, which is one of the things that is a big challenge with this technology at the moment, is great, because it could basically cannibalize the tablet market, frankly. So you've got it as a single handheld phone when you need that, and you've got a tablet when you need that. So there is
quite a price,
attractiveness
though.
To it. I at the moment, yes, but of course, as usual, that technology trickles down. At the moment, Apple have spent fortunes trying to make that hinge reliable and that crease to go away. It's been a real bugbear, and we'll see how Apple do. I mean,
the rivals done? Hasn't Samsung done one of these foldable things?
So they've been doing it for a long time, and they've been improving that technology for a long time. Apple tend to come to markets not first, but when they think the market is starting to grow, but also when they think the technology can be developed that will actually give a much better experience. And an example of that was the iPod, and the other one was the iPhone. So the iPod wasn't the first MP3 player by any means, and the iPhone wasn't the first smartphone, but they became dominant. Hugely dominant in those fields, and they grew it because they waited. This is what Apple do. They wait until they can bring you what they believe is a really good experience. Whereas Samsung with their Galaxy phones, they're great phones, by the way, but they will tend to be, bleeding edge with the technology as soon, because they make the screen technology as well, don't forget. Apple don't manufacture anything themselves. They design things and have it made for them by companies like Foxconn in China. So but Samsung have been doing that, and some of their early phones, folding phones, were really not very good and not very reliable. Apple don't want to be in that position. I think they rightly think that it would damage their brand. So, you know, if you want to be the first with the technology, then it's not an iPhone. But if you want what should be a really good experience with mature hardware that's going to be reliable and, you know, work very well, then, you know, an Apple device can be a good choice for that.
Fevzi, thank you very much. Fevzi Turkalp there, editor of GadgetDetective.com.